We'll go CQ Worldwide in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. This is the Rain Report. I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR. Arguably the most popular HF contest worldwide is coming the weekend of October 23rd. It's CQ Worldwide, sponsored by CQ Magazine. Rain founder-producer Hap Holly, KC9RP, spoke with CQ's editor Rich Mosesen, W2VU, about this, the contest of contests.
Why has CQ Worldwide become so worldwide?
Well, that was the intention, of course. That's why it has the name. But it's a very interesting question, and I don't think there's a definitive answer to it. Part of it has to do with timing, being held in October and November. It's prime time for HF propagation on an annual cycle. You're coming out of the summer doldrums with a lot of lightning-generated noise and things like that. But also there's the simplicity of it. You simply have to copy the other station's call sign and CQ zone. And it makes it easy to work a lot of stations quickly because of minimal exchange. You compare this to something like ARRL sweepstakes, where you have this very lengthy exchange that's basically the preamble to a radiogram. It takes you half a minute to just go through that, and then the other station has to take a half a minute to go through his or her. In fact, being a YL gives you about a 60B advantage in a contest.
DB, wow. That can make a difference in the pileup, you know.
That's right.
So you're kind of limited by the length of the exchange to how many contacts you can make in a minute or an hour. In the CQ Worldwide, you have to just copy the other station's call sign and their zone. And there's only 40 zones to choose from. So it's designed to be fast-paced. And that's what a lot of contesters really love.
Do we have any numbers of how many hams worldwide participate in CQ Worldwide?
We have hard numbers on the number of log entries that we get, which are basically in the 7,500 range for both the single sideband and CW weekends. But the more interesting number is the number of different call signs that appear in those logs, because obviously no one is required to submit a log, and there are many, many thousands of people who get on during the contest for purposes other than competing in the contest. It's a fantastic DXing opportunity because of expeditions to different rare places or just activity from those places by resident hams. So if you're a DXer, it's two great weekends to be on the air because you're going to be able to find a lot of very rare places on the air and listening for you, because they want to talk to you as much as you want to talk to them. And the numbers are somewhere like 70,000 to 100,000 different calls. Basically, it makes the CQ Worldwide the single largest participation sporting event on the planet, period. The largest one other than that that's a more traditional sporting event is the New York City Marathon, which draws about 50,000 participants every year. There are more people who get on the air and make at least one contact in the CQ Worldwide. And that's pretty amazing.
T42 US in Havana, the American-Cuban team, will be one of the more sought call signs to work in CQ Worldwide. Do you know of any rare places that are going to be in the contest this year?
There are always a whole bunch of special station activations for the CQ Worldwide, both the single sideband weekend in October and the CW weekend in November. I've got a list in front of me right now of anticipated special stations for the CW contest in November. I don't have the single sideband ones handy, but some of those, according to our contesting editor, include 3 Bravo 9 Hotel Alpha, 5 Whiskey Zero India Foxtrot, 9 Mike 2 Mike, Tango Charlie 0 Alpha, V6 Alpha, and X-Ray Victor 2 Delta. That's a pretty good cross-section. There is a website that you can go to that keeps a list, and that's the NG3K November Golf 3 Kilo website, www.ng3k.com/contest/. And the word contest is capitalized, the C. You can get an up-to-date list there of the planned operations. But that's one of the other things that makes the CQ Worldwide so popular, is that a lot of people make a special effort to either do specialized contest expeditions or to time broader de-expeditions to cover one or the other of the CQ Worldwide contest weekends.
You're listening to a conversation between CQ Magazine editor Rich Mosesen, W2VU, and Rains Hap-Holly, KC9RP.
How did CQ Worldwide evolve?
The roots go back to 1939, even before there was a CQ. The first one was sponsored by Radio Magazine, which was the predecessor of CQ. Then in 1948, the DX editor of CQ, Herb Becker, W6QD, was working to bring back a lot of these very popular activities that had been originated by Radio Magazine. One of them was the DX Marathon, which appeared for 1 year in 1948, and the CQ Worldwide DX Contest, which is not real clear to me at the moment. I'm going to have to dig back into that time period to see whether the first CQ Worldwide was held in 1948 or in 1949. But both of those events were immediately very popular. And in fact, the DX Marathon was canceled after the first year because Herb was doing all of the log checking results for everything. It's just too much for him. We revived the DX Marathon in 2005 as a year-long DXing activity. The CQ Worldwide has been with us since at least 1949 and possibly a year or two earlier.
Why the interruption in the 40s? Was that due to World War II?
It was a combination. First of all, there was no ham radio during World War II. Everybody was off the air. But Radio Magazine, which had covered both amateur radio and commercial audio and broadcasting, fell on hard times because of the war and because of the reduction in amateur activity. At the end of the war, it was sold to new owners who split it up into two different magazines. Radio continued as an audiophile magazine and became Audio Magazine, in fact, which some of you may remember. And the ham radio part was split off into CQ, which was launched as a new magazine in 1945, 70 years ago. As ham radio activity ramped back up after the war and the magazine started getting on its feet, the activities that had been started up prior to the war back in the 30s were either brought back, revised a little, or new things were started. Another example of that is the Work Dull Zones Award, which goes back to 1936, I believe, and is the second oldest active award beyond Work Dull Continents. And that paused briefly during World War II and was reactivated by CQ in 1946 or 47.
Obviously, CQ Worldwide has rules, as every contest does. Where would someone go to read those rules?
Well, there's a variety of places. There's CQ Magazine, of course, and we have the rules in our September issue. Actually, it's a summary of the rules. We decided this year that we want to try a little something new. The rules, particularly for the CQ Worldwide, can be kind of overwhelming. There's like three printed pages of them. 99% of the detail in those rules is intended for the highly competitive stations to keep them on the straight and narrow and to delimit what is permissible and what isn't. For the other 95% of the participants who are just in there to have fun and maybe compete against themselves, the basics are all that's required. What are the dates? What are the times? What are the exchanges? What do you do with your log at the end of the contest? We have the full rules on our website, cq-amateur-radio.com, and on the CQ Worldwide website, which is simply cqww.com. You can find the basics in the magazine and the more detailed rules with a lot of specifics in it on either of those two websites.
And that concludes this conversation about CQ Worldwide, a worldwide phone contest scheduled for the weekend of October 23rd. Rains Hap-Holly, KC9RP, spoke with CQ Magazine editor Rich Mosesen, W2VU. The Rain Report is copyright 1990-2015 Rain. All rights are reserved. Now for everyone connected with these Rain Reports, I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR, bidding you very 73 from the Radio Amateur Information Network. www.therainreport.com, Twitter, #TheRainReport, and iTunes.